Welcome to the All Saints Fordham and Eight Ash Green Sunday service. This is the lockdown podcast for Palm Sunday, 5th of April 2020. My name is Francis Blight. Thank you for joining me. We're entering into the Easter season, and today we focus on Jesus' journey to the cross. We're going to hear a number of Bible readings so that we can enter into the details of the story. We will pray and we will worship together. I'm recording this in my study, and five other members of the church community have recorded sections from their homes. Through the church website, you can access a number of resources to accompany this service. Our schools worker Ruth Reynolds has produced an All Saints Club video for 4 to 11 year olds. The notice sheet is there containing sections of the service for you to join in with, and there's a printable document containing today's Bible readings. Some tips before we begin for making the most of your worship time at home. The readings will be from Matthew's Gospel, the first book of the New Testament. Have your Bible or the printout ready. And prepare your listening space so that you're ready to hear God's word, to pray and to worship. Turn off your phone and emails. Let us pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day, a day that you have made, a gift from you. We seek you now as we pray. Prepare our hearts and minds to worship you. Please lead us that we might worship in the power of your Spirit and in truth. And please reveal yourself to us afresh today in the person of Jesus. We come seeking your help for our world, our nation, our community and our families. Please deliver us from the COVID-19 virus. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today's opening song is a new hymn called Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. The lyrics are printed in the notice sheet along with a link to a lyric video on YouTube.
Our souls to him.
Christ's death on the cross is the power of God to save us. So let us worship Jesus together, using the words on page 3 of the notice sheet. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross you have redeemed the world. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. By your holy cross you have redeemed the world. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. By your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Our first reading today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, starting at verse 1. The Jerusalem crowds celebrate Jesus as King. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfil what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. In this reading, we see how Jesus divided opinion. Who is Jesus? That's the big question as he enters Jerusalem. Today we call him Jesus Christ. Those two words are, so to speak, glued together, Jesus and Christ. But Jesus radically divided opinion. And in the days leading up to his death on the cross, Jerusalem was divided as to who he really was. We see it in Matthew 21, verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? Is he the Christ, the Messiah?" Those two words mean the same thing. Christ from the Greek, Messiah from the Hebrew. Both mean the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, the one sent by God to be the true leader of God's people. Jesus is greeted by the crowds as he enters Jerusalem. They celebrate. They cut branches from the trees to pave the way. They put their cloaks on the road. They make the equivalent of a red royal carpet to welcome him. Can you imagine putting your own coat on a dirty road to be trampled by a donkey? They really thought Jesus was important. And listen to their words in verse 9. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Calling Jesus the Son of David is the same as calling him the King of Israel or the Christ. The king prophesied in the Old Testament would be a biological descendant of King David, the great hero of the Israelite kings. The crowds are celebrating Jesus as the Christ, the promised king. He comes to God's temple. He's zealous for the temple to be authentic, but he sees it as having been corrupted in the way that animals for sacrifice are being sold. He wants to reform the temple and drives out the money changers and dove sellers. Then he heals those with disabilities, the blind and the lame. The children in the temple area shouting and praising Hosanna to the Son of David. It was a day filled with wonder. Jesus divided opinion, and the people of Jerusalem asked, "Who is this?" So who is Jesus? It was the big question then, and it's still the most important question that every person needs to answer today. This time of anxiety caused by an unknown new virus gives us cause to ask big questions. And I wonder what your opinion of Jesus is. Who do you think he is? Christine Willetts and John Stenner will now read to us from Matthew chapter 26.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, starting at verse 3. The plot against Jesus. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name is Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him that the teacher says, 'My appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." But Jesus declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
In the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
On that day when many in Jerusalem were celebrating Jesus, there was another group of people who were not filled with wonder. The chief Jewish priests and the teachers of the law are annoyed at what Jesus is doing. They gather together in the palace of Caiaphas, the high priest, and plot to arrest Jesus and kill him. They are quite clear in their own minds that Jesus is not the Christ. He's not the son of David. Judas, one of Jesus' inner circle, also thinks that Jesus has gone too far. He switches allegiance and decides to betray him to the chief priests. It's night time, and Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane while three of his disciples, Peter, James and John, sleep. Jesus knows that his death is coming. He knows that it has a purpose, as he declared at the Passover meal a few hours earlier. Verse 28. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. As he prays, he refers to his coming death as a drink. He refers to his coming death as a cup which he will have to drink. Verse 39. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. This cup is a Bible image of God's judgment taken from the Old Testament. It's a terrible cup that he doesn't want to drink, and he prays that there might be another way. May this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Judas arrives with a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief Jewish priests. Judas betrays Jesus with the kiss of a friend. Greetings, Rabbi. They seize Jesus and arrest him. Then all his disciples desert him and flee. This moment tested their loyalty to Jesus, and they ran away. Who is Jesus? Is he your king? The COVID-19 virus has brought each of us into a time of testing and trial. Many different difficulties face different individuals and families. Will you remain loyal to Jesus at this time? Or will you desert him and flee? On this note, we move to confess our sins. When I say, Lord, forgive us, please respond, Christ, have mercy. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Let us confess our sins. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess we have failed you, as did your first disciples. We ask for your mercy and your help. Our selfishness betrays you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We failed to share the pain of your suffering. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We run away from those who abuse you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. We are afraid of being known to belong to you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shona Ferrugio and Sam Carbonaro will continue today's Bible reading.
Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spat in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?"
Peter disowns Jesus. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him, and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
It is now the middle of the night. Jesus is taken to the high priest's house, where a Jewish court hearing takes place. The Jewish ruling council, called the Sanhedrin, seeks to find evidence that will make Jesus worthy of a death sentence. Finally, the high priest asks Jesus directly, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" Here is the question again, who is Jesus? Jesus replies, verse 64, "You have said so. But I say to you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus is quoting an Old Testament prophecy from the book of Daniel and applying it to himself. Daniel had a nighttime vision recorded in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. This is what he saw. "There before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All people, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Jesus is declaring that this prophetic dream, given by God 500 years in the past, is about him. What a claim! Jesus is saying that he's not just the King of Israel, but he is one who will be worshipped by people of every nationality. This is the final straw for the high priest. He has spoken blasphemy. He's worthy of death, say the Sanhedrin. Then they spit on him. They punch him and slap him. "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?" As they strike him, they demonstrate their power over him and therefore confirm in their own minds that there is no way that Jesus could be this powerful Son of Man from the Daniel prophecy. The tragedy is that King Jesus is being abused by his own people. The leaders of Israel should have been the first people to celebrate his kingship, but instead they despise and mock him. While all this is going on, Jesus' disciple Peter waits outside in the high priest's courtyard. Just a few hours earlier, he declared, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." But now he does just as Jesus prophesied. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." "I don't know what you're talking about." "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." "I don't know the man." "Surely you're one of them, for your accent gives you away." "I don't know the man." Immediately a cock crowed, and Peter remembered Jesus' words. He went outside and wept bitterly. Jesus was denied by the leaders of God's people who should have welcomed him. He was denied by his closest disciple. Who is this man? Will you deny him, or will you stand firm when your hour of testing comes? Shona, Sam, and Shola Deboer will continue today's reading.
Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Jesus' trial before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they're bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Matthew chapter 27, verse 27 to 31. Bullied and humiliated by the governor's soldiers. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
Early the next morning, the Jewish chief priests come to the decision that Jesus must be put to death. They bind him and take him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" It's that question again. Is Jesus the Christ, the son of David? Jesus replies, "You have said so." Then he refuses to defend himself against any other accusations from the chief priests. Pilate saw no reason to execute Jesus. He knew that it was out of envy that he'd been handed over to him. His wife even had a dream warning them about Jesus' innocence. But Pilate becomes fearful that the Jewish crowd will riot. He gives in, puts justice aside, and sentences Jesus to be crucified. Pilate has Jesus flogged, and his soldiers then take him into the praetorium, The whole company of soldiers gathers round him. You'll remember how the Jewish rulers mock Jesus. In a similar way, the Roman military mock him. They dress him as a pantomime king. A scarlet robe, thorns for a crown, a staff in his hand. And then they kneel before him in mock worship. Hail, King of the Jews! They spit on him. They take the staff from his hand and strike him on the head repeatedly. The staff that a king or ruler holds on ceremony symbolizes his or her power and authority. As they take the staff from him and beat him, they're saying, look, in no way are you a king. You are powerless. This is very deep mockery. Then Jesus is stripped of the costume and led away to be killed on a cross. The narrative of Jesus' journey to the cross asks us the question, who is Jesus? When Jesus came to Jerusalem, he was greeted by a joyful crowd celebrating him as the king. Just days later, he's being led to crucifixion. Two human power structures were involved: the Roman ruling government and the Jewish ruling council. Both respond to the person of Jesus in the same way. They mock him, they beat him, they condemn him to death. And while this is being played out, Jesus' band of disciples dissolves and evaporates. It's a tragic narrative, a story of injustice to make one weep. But as we move to Good Friday and then Easter Day, we will see and remember that it's not a tragic story. Rather, from this picture of woe emerges the greatest victory of all time. A victory that even defeats humanity's greatest enemy, death. Today, the Daniel prophecy about the mighty Son of Man has come true. Nations and men of every language will worship him. The prophecy has come true in England, 2,000 miles away from Jerusalem. Over hundreds of years, English people have worshipped Jesus as the true king, even here in Fordham, Atash Green and Colchester.
Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. We are reminded of your word, that your steadfast love and mercy for us never ceases, but they are new every morning. Paul also taught us in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 that we should not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests to God. We therefore come before your throne this morning, clothed with the spirit of humility and an attitude of confident assurance that you hear us when we pray. We praise and thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. We thank you that we have alternative means such as this to worship you together this morning. We thank you for your direction, provision, and protection over us. We know that you are the Almighty God, and that nothing can take you by surprise. In the light of COVID-19 pandemic, with the resulting confusion, utter gloominess, and the reality of man's helplessness, we humble ourselves before you and seek your face, and we pray that you will forgive us our sins and heal our lands, as stated in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We pray for the United Kingdom and the nations of the world. We ask that as we seek you in repentance, that you, O Lord, will intervene in this situation, that you will grant wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to the various committees, scientific organizations, and all involved with finding solutions to this pandemic. In the same vein, we remember the frontline staff and their commitment in the fight against this virus. We especially commit the health workers unto you, that you will protect them and give them wisdom, courage, and strength to manage this pandemic in an effective manner. Lord, we pray for those who are sick physically, that you will stretch forth your hands of healing unto them. For those that are lonely or emotionally down, we pray that the Holy Spirit will be their companion. Let them be encouraged of your unfailing love for them. We pray for those who are fearful, uphold them. Let them know your love that casts away all fear and surpasses all understanding. We remember the families that have lost their loved ones as a result of this pandemic, that you will comfort them and grant them the strength to bear the loss. Father, we pray that this situation will eventually lead to a worldwide revival, that men everywhere will lift your name on high and become members of your family. As a church, we pray that you will renew us and revive us. We ask that your love will radiate through us to the world around us. Help us to understand what you will want us to learn and know through this situation. Dear Lord, as we remember your triumphant entry to Jerusalem this day, we invite you afresh into our lives, homes, and churches. Cleanse us, purge us, and make us ready for your second coming. Make us more willing to pray and study your word as a church, in our homes, and as individuals. Help our leaders, O Lord. Let them turn to you for guidance and help. Keep us under the shadow of your wings as we go through this week. Help us to guard our hearts with all diligence, and help us to be light to the world around us. We pray for our children and young adults, that you will keep them through this period. May we see from them increased willingness to build authority. We ask for wisdom and safety-conscious decisions from them in the days ahead. For in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.
Gathering our prayers together as one, we pray the prayer which Jesus taught to his first disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And the collect prayer for today. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We've come to the end of our service. Some items of church family news. The Zoom online software is proving very useful at this time of social distancing. Last Sunday, over 30 of us met online for the final week of Life Explored. On Tuesday, we held a PCC meeting, which worked well. And on Thursday, about 20 of us prayed together at Prayer Focus. From 11:30 to 12:30 this morning, we're trialling coffee and chat using Zoom through the internet. Obviously, you'd need to make your own cuppa at home, but I hope this will be a good opportunity to connect during this time of isolation. It's an experiment, and we'll see how it goes. The Zoom link was emailed out to the church contact list on Friday. Click the link from 11:30 a.m. to join. We give greetings to Shola's family as her son, Elishama, will be 2 years old this Wednesday. Happy birthday, Elishama, and may God bless you on your special day. We plan, God willing, to produce podcasts for Good Friday at 12 noon and then on Easter Sunday. So please pray for God's enabling for all those who are involved and check the website in due course. Please have a look at the notice sheet for further info. We finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, we look to you at this time of plague, asking that you will preserve us and our families and the villages of Fordham and Atash Green. Christ, you are our hope in life and in death. We ask at this time that you'll lift up those who are downhearted or lonely. Help us to obey your command to love others as we love ourselves. May Christ crucified draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.